Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need.
This is Global Air Force, and here's your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. How long has it been since you've had peace of mind? How long has it been since you talked to the Lord? And how long has it been since you heard teaching and preaching that really touched your heart and mind and made you want to change the way you're living and change the way you're thinking? Well, today, we start a two-part series with Dan Mahler in a classic message that he has preached at Christ Community Church. A blast from the past with the dynamic Dan Mahler.
Good to be here, guys. Good to see you all. Amen. It's like a family reunion a little bit. I'm not home much anymore. But it's good. It's the will of God just to travel and do what I'm doing. And just thanks everybody that I don't see much anymore for understanding that. There's a lot of hunger out there. Obviously, there's a lot of need out there, but there's really a lot of hunger. And I'm seeing a lot of humility and repentance, and I'm having a good time watching the lights come on in people. So I'm having the time of my life. I feel like I'm living a dream most of the time. And doing really good. I'm not tired. I'm not frustrated. I'm not mad at people. Hi, Dave. I just feel the love of God here. I think it's every time I get around Pastor Dave, he blesses me. Actually, it's every time I get around Jesus, and he never leaves me. So, now listen, I'm going to talk real straight to you tonight, okay? I challenge people everywhere I go. It seems to be a gift of mine. But I encourage you as well, okay? I'm not here to correct you. I'm here to cheer you on. And obviously, they called this a healing service, and I know there's a lot of healing necessary in the room tonight. We're going to pray for the sick. It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time. Okay, I want to talk to you about healing, of course, and there's going to be a message with that. It's just been in me all night since I've been here, and we sang some amazing songs. I'm all that he says I am. I don't want to ever just get caught singing that. I want to believe that. I want to live that. You can't live that for me. You can't make me live that. I have to believe that. I have to believe the gospel. There's a place for me to let what God has said and done through Jesus Christ supersede anything I've ever felt, experienced, anything's ever happened to me, anything I've ever done. I have to separate the gospel from everything life has ever presented and make them two things separate and say, this is truth and this is the truth about me. Are you following me? Now, I've noticed we haven't done a great job doing that at large. We still think we're what we were growing up, and we still think we're what happened to us when we were 12 and 20, and we're 40 now. There's a place. There's a place. Now, I'm not being smart. You could tell. I'm going to laugh the whole way, so laugh with me. Don't anybody get mad. That would be a shame if I'm so happy and you get mad tonight. That would just be a shame. So don't do that, okay? Because I'm going to challenge you on the inside, all right? Come on, even in healing, sometimes I understand. I've been through some things in my own life, very blessed only be few, through a very small few. I've had sickness in my family. I lost my mother 2 days after Christmas to sickness this past year. So I understand that it's real and it's not good. And it hasn't changed the gospel. It hasn't changed the zeal in my heart. There's a way bigger picture than what we're struggling with seemingly sometimes on the earth. And I want you to be so encouraged to not let anything you're going through change who you are in Him. Because what He went through is where we have to live from all the time. We can't just live from circumstance to circumstance. We're just going to be a driven people, ineffective, and we won't release what we're predestined to release. And I'm telling you, it's a big deal to release what you're predestined to release. Your light in the world, the world's waiting for us to shine, really shine. You can shine even if you're going through a battle with sickness. You can shine if your loved one has sickness. You can shine when you're laid off, man. You can shine when a loved one just walks out of your life. You can shine. And some of us, see, it's us. There's a funny quiet in the room. Because most of us have been taught to think that the reason Jesus is in place is to keep all those things from happening. And then when they happen, we're confused, troubled, and we reveal we don't have a strong foundation of understanding. We're being driven from life and circumstances, trying to apply God to it, hoping it gets better. The gospel's way more than that. It is so much more than that. This book was never intended to become a book of principles we apply to get help when we're in trouble. This is a book that promises us grace for transformation, where God's Spirit is in us, God's heart is in us, God's nature, God's wisdom, God's very mind. The Old Testament says that His ways are higher, but He's let us in on truth, and truth has come into us. I don't want you to ever let this book become a book of principles that you're just trying to apply to get help when you're in trouble. It's an introduction into the most amazing, life-changing relationship you will ever have. Someone that will never hurt you, never break your heart. And this message is probably going to get a little tighter anyway, because you can live in a place where you're never hurt and your heart's never broken. Because you can become love like Jesus' love. You really can. I have a couple people that agree. It's the whole reason we're saved, guys, isn't to have a better day. The whole reason we're saved is to be called out of darkness into the light, the old nature dead, the new man alive. The old man crucified, Christ in us, living and breathing and thriving in the face of life, injustice, unfairness. Guys, I'm not being mean and I'm not pointing to you. I'll look up. We have got to get past a place where trouble comes and we ask a bunch of questions that keep our identity in shambles. Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? What did I do wrong? Why is God allowing? Because when you do that, you reveal to whatever's going on that you really don't know who you are and where you're coming from. And it reduces us to people in need that believe we need a Savior, but we have a lot of need and we're trying to apply these promises, hoping for help. Philippians 1 says, not in any way terrified by your adversary. There is a place to so know who we are because of Him and so understand our place in life and understand that troubles come, trials come. You know, sometimes things happen. Sometimes you go telling somebody what you believe and you get found right in the test of what you just said you believe, like within a day. That's not an accident. There's something out there lurking, roaming around like a roaring lion. See, scared silly of the Word of God. Not scared of you, scared of the Word of God. And when the Word gets inside of you, it's potential to become revelation, so you look like a target. You're not the target. He comes for the Word's sake. You can't take adversity personal. You can't even take sickness personal. We're in a war. It's a demon war against the kingdom of God. Read the book. It's been there. And in the midst of that, we were made in His image to shine light and to walk in love and to manifest His wisdom and bring great glory to His name, not just receive a blessing from Him. Oh, man. We already won this thing if we'll really get it. He is so afraid. The devil and the enemy is so afraid of Jesus. Read your Bible. He's so afraid of Jesus. Oh, my goodness, is he afraid. He's so afraid of the Word, and God and his Word are one. He is so afraid of the Word. You can't take what you're going through personal, guys. We're in a war. It's the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. We ought to be excited because light's greater than darkness. And light's in us. And if your eye's single, your eye, single, which is the lamp of your body, your eye, your whole body's flooded with light. And light's greater than darkness. So if you see clear, you're going to live clear. Doesn't say unless, of course, you're faced with challenges and issues. It said if you see clear, you live clear. Your eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. Unless, of course, your spouse just left. Unless, of course, you have sickness. Unless, of course, you just got laid off. It doesn't say that. It says, if I understand who I am in the midst of everything, I will shine in the midst of everything because he is Lord. My response in the midst of life is imperative that the world sees Christ in us. We won't pray for the sick. It's right to pray for the sick. It's scriptural to pray for the sick. So I'm not correcting us in thinking we're going to pray for the sick tonight. I'm saying, man, no matter what you're going through, don't let it change who you are in him and who he is in you. Amen. The whole reason he's in you is to look like him, to think like him. Come on, guys. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He's a Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He's touching me right now, so it's just not my fault. Because I believe him, and I believe he's in me. I believe that I'm all that he says I am. So if something's not working right in my body, that never drives me. That is never my motivation. My motivation is promise. It's love. It's victory. It's Jesus. He is greater than anything I'm facing. I want you to get passionately aggressive with what I'm saying tonight in your own life and heart, and not be afraid of being seen out of balance. I'm not talking about you coming across flaky and weird. I'm talking about you thinking Jesus and understanding love. No, there's a lot of folks out there, unfortunately, they're doing the spiritual thing, saying all the right stuff, but they're really hurting inside. This isn't some cover up. We're not using the gospel to cover up and just get by. We're transformed. We're actually free. We actually wake up with joy. We actually go to bed and aren't afraid. And when we go to bed, we sleep. Oh my goodness, that's amazing! Unless Jesus wakes us up and we pray. And then at 6, we're still ready to go because it's all him. The natural wisdom has been crushed and our lives are lived by grace, and it's amazing. Told you I've been having fun. I've just been having fun. I sit with people on planes. They ask you questions. They ask how you're doing. That's fun. You just tell them. And then they're like, oh, man, I don't know if I should ask. And then the more you talk, then they're glad they asked. And probably 7 out of 10 of the times, they have a misunderstanding of Christianity, mad at church, mad at people, and end up crying in their seat. Probably 7 out of 10. So don't understand the good news. Look, guys, Jesus didn't just die to fix our stuff. He died to make us brand new. We've been singing it all night. It's been just stirring in me. Jeremiah, Joe, wherever you are, make all things new. I'm back here just burning in me. I'm like, man, he made all things new. Guys, the way I think, come on, the way I feel, my emotions, you and I were trained by a lie. We were trained by flesh. Think with me. Your whole life you were trained by the fall of man. Your whole life you were trained by the wisdom of this age.
Your whole life you were homeschooled in the wrong home. Serious! And we all graduated early. We all got an A in the flesh. We all got an A at being treated wrong and feeling angry, rejected, hurt, disappointed, identity crisis, low esteem, driven by life, no stronger than the weakness around us. Come on, we all passed. We all graduated. We all got diplomas. It's not normal. It's not the way we were created to be. It's the way we became when man ate the tree. We were all born into Adam. You must be born again. Somehow we turned that beautiful message into heaven and blessings. Somehow we've taken the message of transformation and turned it into blessings and a passport to heaven. It's the answer of a brand new life, a brand new way of thinking. It's the answer for courage, for discipline and diligence, and a heart full of honor and humility. Oh my goodness, it's the call to follow Jesus, not sing to him and pray to him, follow him. I don't know what I look like to you. That could be interesting. But my days of bondage are over. My days of fear. Watch this. Oh, you're in denial, brother. You'll find out one day I'm telling the truth. My days of fear are over. Because the gospel teaches you to love not your own life unto death. Even if death is looming, there's no fear of death through Christ. We're never going to die. So why does death always drive us? Why does death always motivate us? Because we've got trapped incorporating Jesus into our life to get through this one instead of have a transformed one to take a legacy into forever. My days of fear are over. They're over. Look, I'm not judging you. I'm not comparing you to me. And I'm not saying, hey, I'm this way and you're this way. I'm saying there's a call to follow Jesus. This gospel is all about transformation. It always has been. It always has been about putting off the old man, putting on the new. What was the old man? The wretched way I thought and felt, the reasons to be discouraged, disappointed, weighed down. Come on. You can bring Jesus into your life, see your need for a Savior, get all your sins forgiven, have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and have the same mentality going into your day if you don't understand that the gospel wants to change everything. Why am I preaching this on a night when there's healing involved? Because this is total healing. Because even if I get tried in my flesh, I am so rooted and so grounded in love. And faith works through love. And love never fails. Oh my goodness. So what's my motivation for prayer? That I have need? No. If the motivation is because I have need, then I'm driven and I'm pressed by fear. Time frames. Human reasoning. Now I'm even challenging and questioning the gospel because I said everything I'm supposed to. There's been a lot of confusion concerning healing in the body of Christ because we've identified and defined God through our circumstance, our efforts, our confession sheets, our fasting, our flag waving, and we've wondered where God is. And if we're not careful, we're making him a principal to get help instead of a father that loves unfailingly. Man, come hell or high water, it doesn't change a thing. I'm going to stand, fight, have peace, and not in any way, Philippians 1, be terrified by my adversary. To him, it's a sign of destruction. To me, evidence of salvation. I guess what I'm crying out is make sure you just don't want to get trapped being saved for you. You're saved for the kingdom, and you're saved for the world. If you're just saved for you, then life has a big voice in your life. And you'll get trapped trying to apply Jesus to all your trouble. And you have a rational reason for not being okay, even though he's in you, and you have fellowship with him, we're called to. Are you guys following me? I understand God pours out his spirit, he touches his people. I understand we could close our eyes right now and ask Holy Spirit to just come and touch, and he would settle on people, minister and touch. But man, you can live that way. You don't have to be touched all the time. Some of us are so hungry. I travel all the time. I've been very active in the body of Christ. Like I've been like
very active since I've been saved. So I've been pastoring almost 16 years, and I've only saved 18. I've been traveling. I went to churches to guest speak when I was 9 months old in the Lord. It's just the way it worked. But I've noticed something along the way. You learn. I watch. I pray. I ask. Sometimes I say, God, am I thinking too much? Why is this so in my eyes? And I notice that we run to be touched by Him a lot in corporate settings. And I'm concerned it's because we're not being touched by Him. I'm not against impartation. I'm not against you getting touched. I'm not here to dig up something. What I'm saying is, man, you can't live from touch to touch. You're going to use that to affirm that He's still there, or that you're still in, or there's something so dysfunctional about it. There's a place for Him to breathe on you and you to melt. There's a place for Him to wrap His arms. There's a place for that. But man, why isn't He touching you? Why don't you just lay in your bed in the morning and just meet with Him? And why do you have to feel Him? Just believe Him. You believe Him first, you might be amazed what He gives you a stewardship of. Because then feelings can never even lie to you or deceive you, because it's not about them, it's about Him. And if He says He loves me, that's enough for me. You know what proved it? I believe Jesus died on a cross and raised from the dead. He has to love me. Yeah, but life's really challenging. Well, what's that have to do with Jesus on the cross? Come on. Here's what we can say if we're not careful. Man, but the car ain't running right. I just got laid off of my spouse. I don't know what's going on with my spouse, but man, my spouse is like out there right now. And two of my four kids aren't even on page at all. And I mean, all hell is, I don't even know. I mean, I thought God loved me. And all of a sudden we're trapped. We're trapped in rationale. That homeschooled thing, remember? Wrong home. All of a sudden, the way that seems right to man is rationalizing and reasoning these things. And now you're challenging what's already settled with circumstantial evidence and love's already proven. Now you're moved from love, reduced to a person driven by need, applying principles, no relationship. Faith working through love, rooted and grounded in love. Or we're hearing a word that pertains to our circumstance, rising up with joy. Whoa! Heat of the day burns that thing up, no root. Root, ground, love. You got? I'm hyper-preaching, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Did you get it? I loved it. Pastor Dave, you got up here and you said, I'm going to be changed. I'm thinking, I'm back there. Pastor Dave opened up Romans 8 and started to read. And I'm standing back here and I'm listening to him read. He wasn't preaching. He just read out of the softness of his heart. And it was so powerful. And I said it to him when he came back. I said, you know, if we just believe what it says, I just say, works for me. You love me. You have to love me. You'd have never sent your son and died. It's not about me being a loser, habitual, making mistakes and mess up. I'm going to start where you finished. I'm going to start here. You love me. There's value to my life. There's greater destiny. I'm going to stop trying to bear good fruit. I'm just going to stop and be a good tree. Because if I'm a good tree, then the fruit's got to be good. I'm going to get this thing right. See? Because Jesus says stuff like a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And we go, oh! And we're thinking about the stuff on our life that doesn't look cool. And you already got two branches that you don't need to just take the fruit off. You want to cut them off. He says a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And you introspect your life and go, oh my God, bad tree. And then he says a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And you go, but I try. He's not even talking about fruit. Who did English class? Come on. The topic of the sentence, the noun is tree. He's not even talking about fruit. And that's all we hear. What's he talking about? Trees. You're trees of the Lord. Righteous trees. The planting of the Lord. You're His fault, His will, His desire. You have to start there. You have to be a son, be a daughter, all that He says I am. When you see the gospel, you have to say, man, of course I've messed up. Of course I've done terrible things. Of course there was things I knew that I shouldn't do and did anyway. You know what? He knows I'm a lot more than that. I'm going to start right here. Let Him love me. Let Him forgive me. Let Him wash over me. Fill me with His Spirit. Dress me for a wedding. And I'm going to look good to Him. Serious. And then... Hi, girls. And I'm not going to let anything change my mind. Here's one of the biggest mistakes we make. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you. Sometimes we think our ability to fail makes us failures. Be honest. How many can relate to that kind of happening? Okay. Now watch. See how universal that is? We probably ought to get a strong corporate understanding on this thing. Thank God there's light in your life that you see it for what it is and you care now. Why don't you start there and keep on growing? Why don't you catch that thing and go, oh my goodness, God, that is so not who I am in you and who you are in me. See, why do we lose our identity? Why do we feel so guilty right away? Why do we do something and go, oh man, I should know better by now? There must be a reason I keep doing this. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Next thing you know, your whole identity is wrapped in what's wrong. And the whole time you're missing intimacy, relationship, and an absolute understanding of truth. I want this to sound so simple to you. We've been trained complexes. Sometimes it's so simple we think it has to be more difficult. In Acts 2, they killed Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, when Peter was preaching, the crowd knew they were guilty of killing Jesus. Their hearts were cut. You look it up. It was an emotional, crazy time. Tearing their clothes, probably, I believe. I actually believe they were pulling out their hair, screaming. They were guilty of killing Jesus. They had flashbacks of that day going, Barabbas, crucify him, crucify. And now they're standing, Peter's preaching, and Holy Spirit goes, bzz, you killed Jesus. Come on, that's intense. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? It was a hopeless question, because what do you do? Peter said, wish you didn't kill him, get baptized for the removal of all your sins. You come on in, be filled with the Spirit too. See, that's so simple, we hardly get it. We killed Jesus. We killed the Son of God, our long-awaited Messiah. The truth was in front of us and we couldn't see him. Light was there and all we... Darkness. Ah! Ah! Yep, you killed him. Ah! Ah! What do we do now? We killed our Messiah. Just repent, get baptized, remove of your sins, and you too will be filled with the same Spirit you see in us. What's he saying? Wish you didn't kill him and you'll no longer be judged as the one that did. And now, in fact, you can step in and be a son because your heart's changed. Why is that too easy? That's God. So what, you want to make up for it? How are you going to make up for killing the Son of God? So you got to earn your salvation? You got to prove yourself? Why don't you just prove yourself by believing his goodness, believing his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, and let that nature so affect you, so astound you that you want to be the same way, like Father, like Son. See, some of this is a trap. Some of this is strategy set against us to blind our eyes. At least we see the glory of this gospel, I'm telling you.
That was wonderful, Dan Mahler. Didn't that touch parts of your spirit, your mind today? That's not all. We have a second part on our program tomorrow. Dan Mahler will preach a message that will change the way you think.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Fly with Global Air Force.